Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello everybody and good evening. This is AP Taylor and you have stumbled upon a team of voices on Blog Talk Radio. That was Birds of Tokyo, the Australian band from Perth, singing Lanterns, and that song was their second single off their first album, and it got to number 5 in Australia. It got to about number 35 in the US, and was a reasonably popular sort of totemic anthem of the time. And they just went out to do something, according to the main lead singer who wrote it, in as positive sort of vibe as they could in a song, and that's where they went to. So, interestingly, a little bit of trivia, the reason they called themselves Birds of Tokyo was because apparently one of the band members read that due to urbanisation in Tokyo, there were no birds in central Tokyo. So they said, well, we better be birds somewhere in Tokyo. So they called themselves Birds of Tokyo. There you go. That was the background. And with me normally is Jay Hatter, but he's not well. But I do have Deborah Lee with me. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good, AP. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. And we have a caller, 270. How are you, 270?
I'm fine. Hey. I'm fine. Can you hear me? Hey.
I can hear you, Mr. Lunget. How are
you? I got to do this. Can y'all hear what I'm saying?
Oh, I can sound. Can hear you good? Hear you good? Right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. No,
well, good.
Thank you.
So, thank you for joining us. So we would normally be the three, and so we are this week. We instead of Hatter, we've got you, Wayne. So we're off to the races with the topic for this week, which I came up with a couple of weeks ago, actually, which was lanterns. Yeah, so lanterns is the topic, and it sort of fits with a whole heap of things that we have done recently, because it always seems to be, Deb, that when we talk about something, there seems to be this strange connection back to the ancient Greeks. And once again, when we get to the wonderful world of lanterns, we are talking about the ancient Greeks. Go figure. So the ancient Greeks were one of the first to actually have oil-based lanterns, and they used to have olive oil, and they used to float a little paper piece or papyrus piece in it and light it and create these little lanterns in their hands using olive oil and as I said, a bit of paper. And they were the first sort of lanterns. So there you go. The ancient Greeks, you know, poetry, Plato, everything, but also lanterns. So there you go. There is a strange connection to most of what I come up with, and most of it has to do with Greece, it would seem. So I'm just putting a little Greek lantern up on the board for the record there. So here we go. Up on the board, Greek hand lantern. So that's the extent of my work for this week. Although I did find a poem by Henry Lawson with lanterns in it, which is kind of fun. So I might get into that first, and then we'll put your poem up on the board, Jeff, I think. So if you look up from about an hour ago, it's Cobb and Co. This is a poem by Henry Lawson. And because it's a poem by Henry Lawson, it goes for a fair way, but bear with me. And the poem goes a little bit like this. A fire lighted on the table, a meal for sleepy men, a lantern in the stable, a jingle now and then, the mail coach looming darkly by light and moon and star, the growl of sleepy voices, a candle in the bar, a stumble in the passage of folk with wits abroad, a swear word from a bedroom, the shout of all aboard, tick, tick, get up, hold fast there, and down the range we go, 500 miles of scattered camps, we'll watch for Cobb and Co. Old coaching towns already decaying for their sins, uncounted halfway houses and scores of 10-mile inns. The riders from the station by lovely granite peaks, the black boy for the shepherds on sheep cheeks and hill cattle creeks, the roaring camps of Gulgong and many a digger's rest, the diggers on the Lachlan, the huts of farthest west, some 20,000 excise who sailed for a wheel or woe, the bravest heart 20 lands will wait for Cobb and Co. The morning star has vanished, the frost and fog are gone, in one of those grand mornings which but on mountains dawn, flask of friendly whiskey, each other's hopes we share, and throw our topcoats open to drink the mountain air. The roads are red, travel and life seems all complete. The grind of wheels on gravel, the trot of horses' feet. The trot, trot, trot and canter as down the spur we go, the green sweeps through a rising blue. The call for Cobb and Co. We take a bright girl actress through the western dust and damps to bear the home world message and sing for sinful camps. To stir our hearts and break them, win hearts and hope and ache. When she thinks again of those her own must nearly break. 5 miles this side of the goldfield, a loud triumphant shout. 500 cheering diggers have snatched the horses out. With Auld Lang Syne in chorus, through roaring camp they go. They cheer for her and cheer for home and cheer for Cobb and Co. Three lamps cross the ridges and gorges dark and deep. A flash on sandstone cuttings where sheer the sidings sweep. A flash on shrouded wagons on water ghastly white, with brush and scattered remnants of rushes in the night. Across the swollen river, a flash beyond the ford, ride hard to warn the driver, he's drunk or mad, good Lord, but on the bank to westward, a broad and cheerful glow, new camps extend across the plains, new routes for Cobb and Co. So scramble up the siding where teams climb inch by inch, pause bird-like on the summit, then break deck down the pinch. By clear ridge country rivers and gaps where tracks run high, where waits the lonely horseman cut clear against the sky. Past haunted halfway houses where convicts made the bricks, scrub yards and new shanties, we dash with 5 and 6. Through stringy bark and blue gum and box and pine we go. 100 miles shall see tonight the lights of Cobb and Co. In poem.
Pretty cool. Him and his rhymes.
It's like that.
Man.
Yeah. Like that. Lovely, lovely, lovely piece of writing to kick us off, Steph. I thought that was kind of neat. But anyway, that's just me.
Yeah, great choice. Two things, though. Wayne, do you have a poem?
Yes. Wayne? Wayne, do you have a poem?
Yeah, I had down the mute button. I'm still playing with this thing. I got a poem I'm just about through writing. I haven't done probably in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm getting ready right now.
Go, you know.
Okay.
Right,
and
perfect.
The second
well,
thing
and
is
meantime,
Sky is here.
I can tell. I just let Sky in. How are you going, Sky?
Hello, how are you?
I am very well. How are you?
Glad you're
very, very
better.
Glad. To see that you have a piece on the board, Sky. I'm very excited.
Yes, it's not. My voice isn't fully back yet, so you'll have to excuse that. But this is actually. I brought a poem. Okay, Seb, you don't have to do my IOU. I forgot I dropped a poem. Great. Okay, so I was prepared.
No,
well,
you
I'll
did.
Save you
no,
the
I
IOU
saw it there, Sky.
Yeah, I forgot. I had some time on my hands this week, so I got a couple of things done. So this is
well,
I found and lanterns are like the moon, so I thought this was it would suffice. So I found the moon weeping by Sky Darkholm. Found the moon weeping as clouds tossed and turned in beds of hollowed winds and black curtains. She stuttered and stammered over grief, clutched tongue, and trembling lips. Words abandoned her, and even the constellations tucked in celestial quills seemed to dim, like fading portraits left bare in sunlight. She could not find ink nor well to write upon atmosphere. The thoughts clutched chest, instead only sorrow of wretched cries and salted drums slipped through fingers and hammered upon the earth. And as I caught her tears like origami petals in a two-dimensional word, I found myself not so alone. End quote. It says October 21st, but I can tell you this one's years and years old, but I think I posted. But there you go.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really I like the idea of I found the moon weeping. I like the image. I like the perspective. Yeah. And I like that there's a sort of it's a sort of sense of melancholy. How's that for a word? A sort of sense of melancholy about
word.
It. And there's this sort of sense of sort of sadness and a sort of sallowness. It's really interesting. So I really like it as a piece of writing because it sort of goes into that sort of crevice of the world. Not a place that I often go with my writing, and it's not an easy place to actually inhabit. But I think you've done it really well. Deb, what did you think?
Thank you.
Oh, I thought this was really, really emotionally powerful. The second stanza really screamed at me. She stuttered and stammered over grief's crutched tongue and trembling lips. I've been in that state of grief where it hits so hard you can't talk and your lips tremble. And in what the first thing that came in my mind actually was that when I heard about my dad and I couldn't speak, I literally like froze in the time and drooled, embarrassing. And I mean, but so that's, like I said, that stanza screamed at me. And on a side note, I really, really liked the origami petals in a two-dimensional world. I can see the tree and the little birds, and it gives you a feel of origami. So I really think that this is brilliant, and I love the title.
Thank you. I think that's a typo. I think it was supposed to be world. I have, like, this is so old. I don't even remember where to look it up on my when I wrote it.
Okay.
But I think it's because I was
No.
But it works,
that makes
more, I guess.
It makes more sense with
world. Well, no. Would you ever want to Wayne, did you want to say a few words? Or were you busy writing? There is an answer.
Yes. I was kind of spoken just kind of makes my heart feel warm. This is I like it when she said, could not find ink or well to write upon the atmosphere. That is just perfectly lovely. And this is kind of it's a bit lonely, but it's contentment in her voice. But she also got a bit of loneliness in her. And I also like what she said, instead of only the sorrow of wrenched cries. That's another good line. Now, always good. So you got one line after the other, just good phrases all the way through. She read it well, and it's a nice poem. I enjoyed it a whole lot. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
There you go. And so, and now are you feeling a little bit better, Skye? I know you've had a pretty tough week one way or the other, but are you feeling okay?
I am feeling better. I was pretty miserable for a while. I was pretty, pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And I'm not typically a laughing, miserable kind of person, but
I
was good
that
no one was around me.
Okay.
I went a half a day really, really miserable, and I called my friend because she always says to me, I don't know how you can always be so freaking happy. She goes, but you're not like the annoying happy. You're just always happy. And so I called her up and I said, that happy person is gone and has been replaced by a miserable human being. It lasted for like a whole half a day.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
I'm glad that's over, though.
Well, I'm glad it's over, too. I was in a similar case, Sky. I managed to cough myself ridiculously, stupidly all night for a couple of nights in a row, and so I only got a couple of hours sleep, coughing so much. And
I could have gave you my sleep. I was sleeping, like, some days 16 hours a day, if you include naps. Maybe like, I was...
No, well, I...
Yeah.
I, completely off my face, tired, and so this was only yesterday, and so I get up yesterday morning and go and grab some cough medicine, that I've got on the bench, and I drink it and then realize that instead I've drunk eucalyptus oil.
Oh, no, that's not good.
It's not
oh.
good. And so I had poison.
What did you do for that?
Yes. Not a lot. I called up the poisons people and they said put some water in and it'll eventually go through, which it did. But it wasn't very pleasant. So, yes, I poisoned myself yesterday after not being very well. So I am still here and can still talk about it, but it was not sensible or clever at all.
That sounds
awful. I've never done anything.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, no. I did it. And oh, my God, you stupid idiot. Anyway, these things happen when you're very, very tired and you do stupid things. So I just made, you know, what was going to be a pretty awful day even worse, really. Anyway, that's okay. I got through it. So
but
here
you
I
survived.
Am, having slept. Okay. And I survived all of that. Yeah, thanks for the poisoned information line, people. Deb, I have your poem on the board, which hopefully has nothing to do with poisoning.
No poisoning.
Good.
Okay.
It's another moon.
This is called Moon Shadows, Lighthouse Lanterns, and Saltwater Symphonies. And here we go.
Cool.
Reclining in the wooden chair on the pier, drinking raspberry tea with lemon slices as ocean brine perfumes the breeze. The citrine sun dips into the sea, then chalkboard hues stain the sapphire sky over the cypress trees. Magnesium light shines from the moon crescent that climbs the horizon, glowing amethyst with the turquoise swirl. Night fishermen cast baited fishing lines chaperoned by a sweet little pigtailed girl. Opal cloud wisps pass the moon, striping light strands with neon glow. Clustered stars blink and cricket choirs croon. Their wings click and winds whistle as they blow. An ocean liner sails into the landscape, waving a flag on a metal pole at the top. Two dinghies cruise the saltwater cape to the blinking lighthouse lantern, then stop. On the sandy coast, the big ships anchor, splashing saltwaters as the anchors drop. On the beach, off the side of the dock, horseshoe crabs and lobsters crawl. Conch shells shipwreck and seaweed patches curled by the tidewater foam as waves fall. Bonfire flames toss amber light on the sand. Laughs fill the air and guitar players sing. Whale pods swim with the dolphins through the ripples the satellites bring. Midnight strikes, so I head to sleep in bed with the songs of the sea clearing my head. And poem.
Well, you set yourself a couple of tasks there, Deb. Clustered stars blink and cricket choirs croon. Blimey, Teddy. What a set of words that is. Let's go and do that again.
It was hard to read. I know.
But it's got this sort of sense of it. There's something very nice about the sort of shore and all of the sense of the sense of things being, you know, nice in the ocean with the whales and the dolphins and the songs of the sea and all that sort of stuff. So, Wayne, what did you think?
Thank you, AP.
Wayne? Hello, Wayne. Just Wayne. No, I can't see Wayne. So if that's the case, I'm going to go to Skye. Skye, did you want to say a few words about Deb's poems?
Yes, I do. And then I'm going to bid you good night. I thought this was an excellent piece. And I liked the idea. Well, first of all, I love that line of alliteration, too. I'm not even going to tackle it. Great job on you guys. I really loved it. But I like how the night fishermen cast baited fishing lines. chaperoned by a sweet little pigtail girl. I like how the girl is chaperoning a fisherman, and it's like a little bit of a twist, and like he's not chaperoning her, but she's got his eye on him. I like that. I like that little bit of, like, it makes you kind of look twice, like, did I read that right? And you're like, oh, how clever and creative. And I really like that aspect of it. I also really liked the details and the, with the, I mean, when you have like a picture prompt, you know, you can see a prompt. And of course, none of this stuff is in there. And when you're reading poetry, the one thing that I always say, if you ever use a picture prompt, you should be able to get rid of the picture and be able to publish it in a book and without a picture and have your reader see it and envision it.
Yeah.
And I think you do that so well and beyond, you know, above and beyond here, because you talk about the dinghies and the lighthouse even like the sandy coast and the big ship anchors. I really love that part. And there was one right here, the conch shell shipwreck in the seaweed patches. I really love that one. And from the tidewater, I think that's actually my favorite section besides the little girl chaperoning and that bit of alliteration. I think, I don't know why, but this conch shells is really, those four lines, the three lines that follow the conch shells, I don't know, maybe it's because it's music and it's a bonfire and it kind of creates like a calm kind of mood, somewhere where I would like to be and be able to breathe. Really well done. And I'm going to comment on this right away because 170 bookmarks later, I was not happy. I didn't realize it had gotten that crazy. So my new goal. Really well done.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Endless sky comment.
I know. I'm sorry. I talked a lot. All right. Well, have a good night, and I hope you guys have a wonderful show, and thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You too, but hold on a second.
Dropping by.
Don't you want to put a show or two first?
Oh, my God. I have like a million shows. What do I That's all I want. I will. All right. So I had to cancel down the tube on Tuesday. Let me try to get somewhere. So Deb has gracious let, I don't want to get behind. So, and I've already put this one off. So we are doing a special Sunday show for really, random stuff down the tube, and that's on at 8 PM. And lo and behold, I'm not working that Sunday. So that's exciting.
Good.
I mean, we've got some prompts, we've got some big animals, and then of course we've got the time it rained for 2 million years. You don't have to get technical. You can if you want. You can just use it as a prompt. I'm sure you all have a poem about rain. You could bring it. It's okay if it's that simply related. As long as you're ready to talk about something you learned, that's what I like doing most. Well, besides the poetry, but so, and then I am on again right away. I'm on Tuesday with Shutterbutton Poetry, and that's on at 8. And basically, you can bring any poem you want from one of my Shutterbutton contests. So, and if you didn't enter one, you can just pick any one and write a new one if you want. So any of those, that should be pretty easy to find. I've run like 500 of them. And then I am on again on Thursday because I'm motivated this week. So I am on, we're going to survive. I am on again Thursday. And it is on a poetic slice, and it is my last show on a poetic slice. And if you want more information, you're going to have to message me directly. And it is Tron Legacy, write to any of the theme scenes, characters, and or quotes. And I think that's all, AP. You probably weren't expecting all that, but there you go.
That's more than enough, Scott. More than enough, Scott. You know?
Wait, all right, you guys tired me out already.
Somebody up some sky occasionally. Yes. Sky week.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Have a good night,
take
guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott.
I made it back, AP.
Hi. You're back? And are you back with a poem, Wayne, or are you just back?
Yes, well, I was coming on Debbie V. I got a poem to put the poem on the board. I can't find a mute button. The wireless hits it, and I can't find a mute button. It's under my ear, and I got to find it.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay.
I do have. Yes, Wayne.
You'll comment about Debbie's point first?
Did you want to comment about Deb's poem?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I think she wrote a wonderful poem with lovely couplets in it. It's got great rhyme. There's a lot of great details in this poem as well as a lot of color. I like the couplet that says, on the beach off to the side of the dock, horseshoe crabs and the lobsters crawl. That's a lot of detail. Never could just kind of get some nitty-gritty in the details. It's a weird, wonderfully, and I love this poem. I love the poem. Go ahead off the bed, just like she hit off the bed. Great poem. Enjoyed it.
No, well, thank you,
Wayne.
Can you put your poem up on the board? And
yes,
while you do, I say hello to Chaos. And to actually recite my favorite Douglas Adams quote, Deb. And it does actually relate to your poem. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. For instance, on the planet Earth, man had always assumed that he was more intelligent than dolphins because he achieved so much. The wheel, New York, wars, and so on. Whilst all the dolphins had ever done was muck about in the water having a good time. But conversely, the dolphins had always believed that they were far more intelligent than man for precisely the same reasons. End quote.
Very interesting.
It is.
It's a great quote. It's a great quote.
Yeah, I'd never heard that before.
Quote. Oh, it's a great quote. As I said, one of my favorites. Now, Wayne,
yes.
We have your poem on the board.
Okay.
But
now,
before you start reading.
Yeah.
I thought I would.
We have a visitor.
Oh. Hope you feel better.
Wow. And I didn't need to feel like that.
Hello,
Chaos. Are you saying hello to Kat?
Chaos here.
Goodness me.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
There was damage then.
Sorry about the mess.
Getting broken, I can say.
It's been a while.
Busted stuff. No, it's the fun. I'm very glad you're here. I am. Despite the fact you're busting everything, I'm very happy you're here. So it's good to have you here. Keep us on our toes. Now, Wayne, we were going to get you to read a poem. Is that right?
Okay. Yes, sir. I started writing this when I called in. The music was playing. I started writing this poem, so I had something to read. And so I just finished like 2 minutes ago, but it's called Climbing the Mountain is the Team. And it goes like this. Climbing up the steep mountainside, walking with our supplies without a ride. Climbing up and over and around the turns, hope Jay Hatter doesn't drop the lanterns. Halfway up the mountain, we made our camp. Our APL, he needed a lamp. Told him to be careful, this one will burn. I gave him my oldest lantern. All through the night, we were able to know because our lanterns burned fairly low. It was not long till morning came. That's when Deborah Lee put out the flame. When we reached the top, we let everyone know. Down below, they could see the lanterns glow. We heard that we hurried down in less than an hour because the lanterns caught the forest on fire. End?
I don't like that. I like the ending, Wayne. Yeah, I went in doubt. You know, the whole crew just set the whole frigging thing on fire. I love that. It's very cute. Chaos, what did you think of Wayne's little conflagration of a poem?
I love this. I had to mute myself.
Oh, I didn't. But, you know.
Because I wanted to be able to hear it all, because, I started laughing as soon as he handed Hatter didn't drop the lantern. This was very amusing. I like this. I had to throw in Smokey the Bear there with only you can prevent forest fires. This is a lot of fun, and as crazy as life has been, I need a little fun.
Yeah, great.
Call
great.
Call.
No, you actually got me laughing before we finished it. Thank you. Well, thank you, Carver. And Deb, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was perfect. The giggle that you gave for us was perfect timing there. And by the end, when you said we heard it down in less than an hour because our lanterns caught the forest on fire, in my mind I could see Smokey the Bear chasing us down the mountain. And then I think Chaos said only you can prevent forest fires, and it was perfect. I got the bear in my brain, and I got Chaos's ears. And it was just like, yeah, what a treat. Very cool read, Wayne.
A quick ride.
Yeah,
about 5 minutes.
No, progressively understated. It was lovely. It's very, very nice, Wayne. I enjoyed
you
it. You had me laughing before the end. Yeah, no, you did.
That's what it's all about. I like it. That's what I'm
going to do. No. I agree completely. Completely. You get people to laugh, you're going a long way. Yeah, you're going a long way. It doesn't matter what it is, you've gone a long way. I am going to put my little brevity on the board, Deb, which is nowhere near as funny as Wayne's. But anyway, that's okay. It's a brevity, so at least it doesn't hang around too long. And it is gathered, though applied, and it goes a little bit like this. Fire restrained, its flames jostle inside, within lights framed, sought out as a guide towards mountains, away past rocky tides, before embers wane, paths opening beside, following a light. Jostling ashes collide, shadows their blight, illumination astride, gathered by handle, within welcome applied, lantern's simple candle, souls roaming wide. Kenpon.
Now, you know, it's funny because we just went from Wayne's poem where we lit a fire to starting off yours with fire restrained. So I think it was a good thing this poem was a backup or Smokey the Bear would have ate us for dinner. I like flowing the light, jostling ashes collide, shadows their blight, illumination astride. I could actually see the ashes as you read that. I think it's a cute. It's not really cute. It's a great little brevity.
Sort of a little brevity, a little bit of sort of rhyme in it, you know, as you do. So it's sort of fun, and you know, it sort of has had a little rhythm to it. Now I notice, Chaos, that there is another poem on the board, which appears to be yours. Hello, Chaos.
I'm sorry. I wandered away. I'm here. The mind wanders.
Okay. No. It's all good.
Yes, I did write this. I barely got it typed before the show. Actually, I typed it during the show.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
Right. That still counts. It's all good.
Okay. Are y'all ready for me to read already?
I very much so, yes.
We are ready.
Okay, the ravaging rhythm of a light in the darkness. Red flames finding white in, but never warming those cold eyes for an instant. They stare steady, a living statue stalking, my breath even as you're walking. Red flames, heartbeats flutter faster and faster as my mind is sedated. My mind entranced by that glare, my heartbeat paced by that stare. Red flames, still never reaching your eyes as your steps steadily reach mine. They dance to a rhythm within and without. Will I finally know my heart beats about? End poem.
Now that's a lot of fun. I like that a lot, Chaos. I do. They dance to a rhythm within and without. Will I finally know what my heart beats about? That's such funky poetry. I really like that. It rhymes and it's got something. And I wish I knew what it was, but it does. I wish I'd written it. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Chaos's piece?
Yeah, yeah. I like my mind entranced by that glare, my heartbeat paced by that stare. Red flame still, never reaching your eyes as your steps steadily reach mine. I like the build up for it, and then we get to they dance to a rhythm within and without. There was a tenderness and a like captivating. Is captivatingness a word? It was captivating. And I really
like the title. I like to make up words.
Yeah, right? I like the ravaging rhythm of a light in the darkness. I think that's a great title. Ravaging. I love that word. But no, I like I said, I really like how this builds up to that dance, to that rhythm at the end. Great share.
Thank you.
Agreed. Really, really nice. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Chaos Space?
Yes. It's a cool poem, and that's a good poem about it. She's wondering about something as she goes down the mountain, or as she's walking, and then finally at the end, she's kind of like got missing something a little bit, and like wanting some be more comfort. And at the end, the guy catches up with her, and they walk in harmony together and start dancing, and life is good. It was a great poem. It was a great ending, and I enjoyed it a lot.
So, Deb, we would normally at this point ask Hatter what the topic was going to be for next week, but we can't do that because he's not with us. Yes?
Yeah.
So I have to make it up. Yes? I think that's the way we go here. And I've got no idea what we're going to do in terms of a song, but I'm going to go with Mango as the theme. Mango, M-A-N-G-O, Mango.
It's my favorite fruit.
Mine too.
I don't know if I can write about it, but it's my favorite fruit.
Oh, there you go. I love mangoes. And we're having a shocking season with mangoes here. So they're ridiculously expensive and not very good. And so I need to get myself to another country quickly in order to actually get myself
here.
Are they?
It's very cheap here.
We're running at like $6 a mango at the minute.
This time of year. In the winter, it's
No. We're meant to be in the middle of start of mango season, and they're crazily expensive at the minute and not very good. So, anyway. But mango is where we're going. We'll see how we go, so to speak, with mangoes next week. Mangoes is the theme. And I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of theme song, Deb, so let me...
I have no doubt you'll pull something out. You always do.
I'll find something, yes? Find something. Now, meantime, Deb, as she has done, went and has found a wonderful poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, a wonderful... influential American poet, end of the 19th century. He wrote a very famous poem called Tales of a Wayside Inn. And it's actually called Revere's Ride. And I'm going to read it now because it's long, but I'm just going to go a little bit like this. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend, if the British march by land or sea from town to night, hang a lantern aloft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light. One if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up and to arm. Then he said good night, and with muffled oar, silently rowed to the Charleston shore, just as the moon rose over the bay, where swinging wide, at her moorings lay the Somerset, British man of war, a phantom ship, with each mast and spar across the moon like a prison bar, and a huge black hulk that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Meanwhile, his friend, through alley and street, wanders and watches with eager ears till in the silence around him he hears the muster of men at the barrack door, sound of arms and the tramp of feet, and the measured tread of the grenadiers marching down to their boats on the shore. Then he climbed the tower of the old North Church by the wooden stairs with stealthy tread to the belfry chamber overhead and startled the pigeons from their perch on the sombre rafters that round him made, masses and moving shapes of shade by the trembling ladder steep and tall, the highest window in the wall, where he paused to listen and look down a moment on the roofs of the town and the moonlight flowing over all. Beneath in the churchyard lay the dead in their night encampment on the hill, wrapped in silence so deep and still that he could hear, like a sentinel's tread, the watchful night wind as it went, creeping along from tent to tent, and seeming to whisper all as well a moment only he feels the spell of the place and the hour and the secret dread, the lonely belfry and the dead. For suddenly all his thoughts are bent on a shadow, something far away, for the river widens to meet the bay, a line of black bends and floats on the rising tide, like a bridge of boats. Meanwhile, impatient to mount and ride, boot and spurred with a heavy stride, on the opposite shore walked Paul Revere. Now he patted his horse's side, now gazed at the landscape far and near, then impetuous stamped the earth and turned and tightened his saddle girth, but mostly he watched with eager search the belfry tower of the old North Church, as it rose above the graves on the hill, lonely and spectral and somber and still, and lull as he looks on this belfry's height, a glimmer, and then a gleam of light. He springs to the saddle, the bridle he turns, but lingers and gazes still full of his sight. A second lamp in the belfry burns. A hurry of hooves in the village street, a shape in the moonlight, a bulk in the dark, and beneath from the pebbles in passing a spark. That was all, and yet through the gloom and the light, the fate of a nation was riding that night. And the spark struck out by that steed in his flight kindled the land into flame with its heat. He has left the village and mounted the steep, and beneath him tranquil and broad and deep, the mystic meaning the ocean tides, and under the alders that skirt its edge, now soft in the sand, now loud on the ledge, he heard the tramp of his steed as he rides. It was 12 by the village clock when he crossed the bridge into Medford town. He heard the crowning of the cock and the barking of the farmer's dog and felt the damp of the river fog that rises after the sun goes down. It was 1 by the village clock when he galloped into Lexington and he saw the gilded weathercock swim in the moonlight as he passed, and the meeting house windows, blank and bare, gaze at him with a astral glare as if they already stood aghast at the bloody work they would look upon. It was 2 by the village clock when he came to the bridge in Concord town. He heard the bleating of the flock and the twitter of birds among the trees and felt the breath of the morning breeze blowing over the meadows brown. And 1 was safe and asleep in his bed, and at the bridge would be first to fall, who that day would be lying dead, pierced by a British musket ball. You know the rest in the books you have read, how the British regulars fired and fled, how the farmers gave them ball for ball, from behind each fence and farmyard wall, chasing the redcoats down the lane and crossing the fields to emerge again under the trees at the turn of the road, and only pausing to fire and load. So through the night rode Paul Revere, and so through the night cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm, a cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock at the door, and a word that shall echo evermore, born on the night wind of the past, through all our history to the last. In the hour of darkness and peril and need, people will waken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed and the midnight message of Paul Revere. End poem.
Great read, AP.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Like that.
Wait, did you say you hadn't? You had not?
No, I hadn't. No, first time I've read it.
Oh, wow.
So it's sort of making it up as I go.
Yeah, it would be a perfect one. Wrap us up.
Great point.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I remember it from school.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
We were forced to read it.
Yeah, Yeah, we read it in school.
Oh, there you go. You've done better than me. I did never read it. I've never read it before.
That's been a long time.
Yeah, lots of poems. So, Deb, we should say something about what's coming up on A Team of Voices in the coming week.
Well, yeah, let's start with Monday. Oh, no. Sky already pushed it, but she has her show tomorrow at 8.
Yep.
You didn't, a lot of us already wrote if you didn't check out her topic. And then I just put the link for Monday on the board. It's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a whole bunch of different choices of photos for a prompt, and take it wherever it leads you. And I think that we are off Tuesday, which I'm double checking just to be sure. Sky will be back on the 19th. So I think she pushed that out already as well. And
yes,
then
she did.
Hatter was going to do a jukebox for Wednesday, but he's really, really having a rough time. So I don't know if he'll be up to it. So stay tuned. But feel better, Hatter. And let's just leave it there for the moment, and you guys can go pick art for Monday.
Okay. Perfect. Well, we can do that. And we are back next week for Mango. Meantime, my thanks to Chaos for calling in and for writing a great poem. But my thanks to Wayne for calling in and writing a great poem. And my thanks to Sky for doing exactly the same thing. And thank you to Deb for being here. Thank you to Hatter too. He's just got to get himself better again. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. So let me.
Let's not forget those broken dishes by Chaos.
Yeah. Like that. So, meantime, I am going to go off and get myself better, and I'm going to play Birds of Tokyo Lanterns to go out. And we will see everybody next week. So thank you, everybody.
Love and respect, you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Great show, AP.
Yes,
thank you.
Night.
Talk soon. Here we go.
should be.
Well, there you go. That was Lanterns, and we got through a few lantern poems, which is handy. My thanks to Chaos and Wayne, and also to Sky for calling in, and Deb for being there with us. And next week we are on mangoes. And you'll be glad to know, Deb, that I do have a song for you for next week. Mango,
I knew you would.
Coconut. Mango, coconut, and sugarcane by none other than Harry Belafonte. Anything by Harry Belafonte is worth listening to. So there you go.
Wow.
Mango. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Mango, coconut, and sugarcane by Harry Belafonte. So, and I didn't even look that up. I did. I looked up Harry Belafonte because I thought he'd have a song about mangoes, and I was right. It's one of those things. Anyway, we have now finished the show. It's now almost spot on an hour. And so thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week for Harry Belafonte, and have a great week. Bye, everybody.
Night, everyone. Love and respect.
Bye.